Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I got to take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big, aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
You should have never been a fad. The Black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick Wade.
I took a little week off last week. Weather's getting to us.
Man, it's good to be back. Mm-hmm. It's good to be back.
And we are warming up here with some Revolution. Actually, our pile of Revolution beers is kind of getting out of hand here. So we got the latest release from Revolution, the Gravedigger Billy and VSOR, which is rye ale aged in rye and bourbon barrels.
Yeah, that's a mouthful. Mm-hmm. Extended aged Rye Way to Heaven.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So, you know, Rye Way, I think Rye Way and Fist City, if I just narrow them down of what I'm drinking from Rev, if you say just what, if you can only have two.
That's what you pick.
I think I'm going with those two.
Fist City.
I'm going Fist City and I'm going Rye Way. Yeah.
Even though we had those summer sessions on those Freedom of...
Oh, those are nice. They're so nice.
But, man. Yeah, I don't know.
I might bump Fist City now and get a mixed pack of that, actually. Yeah, that's what I'm going with. Okay. I changed it that quick. God, I'm so easy.
No loyalty. Like, all right, yeah, they're true. That but VSOR, you're sticking with. Rye Way.
Yeah, I dig it, man. You know, they talked about on the call, man, how it's just got that crazy, lively, bouncy palate. It's just more full-bodied than barley wine. It's like a barley wine plus, right?
Okay.
Like you get barley wine and then you get this extra gear of expression and flavor. It's nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's the VSOR, it's like sticky, like viscousy, almost syrupy, but it's nice. I don't know.
Yeah, like toffee. I saw ladyfingers as a descriptor once, and I'm like, what are ladyfingers? Is that a dessert? Tiramisu? Ladyfingers? I need to find out what ladyfingers are so I can use that more.
I guess it is, but I...
You just saw the face, Brad.
I think it's something... It must be someone saying something sexual. I don't know. Like, that's what I think of when you say it. But you're right. I think it is a dessert.
Yeah.
And then we have this Scotch ale aged in bourbon barrels, which is different. Like, we've had Gravedigger Billy before.
Yeah, and I want to say Gravedigger Billy was one of the draft-only variants, you know, I don't know, probably like 2 years ago now.
And it was a wee heavy.
It was a wee heavy, and it was big and smoky and almost like...
It was a wee heavy.
It was too much. It was too much. It had like a very, like a cigar vibe going, and it was out there.
But I'm really digging this one. They were talking on the call, like Scotch ales. People expect it to be peaty and that Scotch flavor, but they're often not. They're sometimes like smoky. They sort of like run the gambit a little bit.
Yeah.
This is light, easy drinking for a 14.5% beer.
Yeah. I think Brewmaster Jim Seback, of course, Jonathan Carruthers, and then Marty Scott on the call. And that was the main talking point about Gravedigger Billy was that it's more like a smoked barley wine or more like a Scotch barley wine than it is a wee heavy. So when we're looking at I'm looking at this BJCP stuff on the call from like 2015, it's not new, but it was like, there's a British wee heavy and then there's a Scottish ale called a heavy wee. So
what? There's a wee heavy and a heavy wee?
Yeah, there's a wee heavy and a heavy wee.
They gotta just combine that.
It's so funny.
Call it the wee. Something. You make a wee?
Scottish heavy. A Scottish heavy and a wee.
Or just call it the heavy. You got one of those heavies?
Yeah. So I think the conversation was like, hey, you know, the English barley wine that we do is very similar to the Scottish. I mean, the English version of the wee heavy.
But not close enough to the heavy.
Not to Scottish, to the Scottish heavy?
So I kind of want to know what a Scottish heavy tastes like now.
So, I mean, that's way more approachable than I was expecting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just enough smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I feel like the Scottish heavy's got to be a lot of smoke.
Like
Scotch ale, wee heavy, Scottish heavy. I feel like that's like the progression maybe of like scotchy smokeness.
There's a lot going on in the one that was on draft. But this one, I actually like.
Okay.
And you know what's even more fun is like just because both of these are coming out this weekend, you know, kind of rotate between the two. Like we did today. We pour one, pour the other, and just kind of rotate back and forth and just kind of see all these different flavors pop out.
Did these not come in fancy boxes? Are they coming in fancy boxes for everyone else? And we
so this is just a sample.
For us, but someone else can't buy a sample.
You'd get the 4-pack. So we got a mixed 4-pack with no fancy box.
But no one else can do that. Because right. I would, that's what I would want.
The, oh, just 4 of each?
No, just a mix. Two and two.
That's true. Yeah.
We talk about this all the time.
And you know, there's a big price difference too. I think VSOR is like $50.
Oh.
Where your Gravedigger Billy.
30? 35?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. And one's VSOR sold out, right?
VSOR is done. Yeah. I think for the first time, this is the first time in like 3 years they have VSOR. Yeah.
Oh, so people are like, yes, yes, please.
I was trying to ask on the call about, you know, where the idea of creating a rye wine, you know, where'd that come from? You know, because I've never had another rye wine. Well, I had a, with Three Floyds and McKellar, they had a Goop series. There was a Rue Goop, that was a rye wine. Then there was a Boo Goop, which was the barley wine.
Like, what's her name's Goop?
And then, what was it? It was a Risk Goop, which was the rice version. They were all these, but they were not barrel-aged.
Okay.
But I'm like, other than that, who's coming out with a barrel-aged rye wine? And then why is it so good? That was weird. I'm like, how did you get to this point, you know?
Right. If it's so good, why don't more people do it?
Yeah. And I think they just talked about different grains in general, how they play well in barrels. And they were excited that if they got, you know, just regular malt to play well in a barrel, then a chocolate rye malt would be even better in a barrel.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, we got the brewer's answer. So it was a little extended, and I'm like, I'm not keeping up here.
Yeah.
They just knew that rye would be well and good in a barrel. That's what I took from it. All
right. Cool.
So, there you go.
But there's only two this time. There's typically, or we usually see, 3 or 1.
Yeah, and this is the end of the road here, too. This is the last of the Deep Woods for the year.
Not for the year.
Right?
No, there's those summer, those early spring. Like, we're super massive.
That's true.
Where's our fruits?
So we're not done with the 2022 releases.
No. And they start back up in, like, November.
It's almost like all year long. It's kind of like baseball, right? Like, it's with you most of the year,
sure.
The Deep Woods, right?
Yeah. Or maybe it's not here during baseball, right? It's
because it starts in September.
Oh yeah, all
right. Right, and then it's January, damn near February, for the last one. September to February is pretty long.
And then I think there's one in April. There should be a super massive, because I remember getting super massive and rolling up in the car and being like, you honk the horn and someone comes out.
Yeah, there's usually two in the summer. I'm hoping for a fruit variant of Rye Way again, as opposed to like, you know, a fruited jacket or a honey jacket. Like, I don't really need those.
Don't need a honey jacket?
No.
Maybe we need a, I don't know, peach jacket?
I hate a peach jacket. Sounds nice. I hated honey jacket, but then after a while, it got a little smoke on it for some weird reason.
Maybe a pawpaw jacket?
I don't
know. Still, I've never even seen a pawpaw.
Yeah, you know, they say pawpaws, you know, pawpaw is like an indigenous to the Midwest.
I've never seen it. And no one's seen it.
That's because you can't, you know, they're over. The flavor, apparently the flavor is amazing, but they don't last very long. You pull it out the ground, you have to, like, use it or eat it immediately.
It's in the ground? I thought it was a tree. I pictured a tree.
Pawpaw's a funny fucking word.
Like, right? I picture, like, a lemon tree kind of thing. Are they ground?
I don't know.
I feel like if it's in the ground, it's a vegetable. It's got to be on the tree. I don't know. I think that's a seed thing. Never mind.
You got me. My head's spinning. I'm going to pour some more beer. I don't know what the hell's going on right now.
And then they're having their event, which this episode should be up before that happens, with Saturday or Friday and Saturday. Too long thing. They have some bunch of variants. Two of them are an apple VSOR and a peach VSOR.
Yeah.
I'm tempted to go. I say this every time. But for some reason, this peach sounds very interesting.
Yeah.
Why?
They got an affinity towards these French oak barrels, too, they've been using. So I think in the description, this is a variant that uses like rye barrel, then some bourbon barrel, and then finished on like these French oak spirals.
Okay.
Not peach oak spirals. French oak spirals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe if it gets above 20 degrees, I might leave the house.
That's a cutoff, right? Anything lower than 20, I'm like, eh. Yeah.
I woke up today and saw it was -4, and I was like, I don't need to get up. So,
fucking bullshit. It's fucking bullshit, bro.
Well, nice. All right, we're going to keep sipping on these. And we have our half-acre small beer as like a little kicker, because these beers do get like sticky.
Yeah, you need to reset.
Mm-hmm. So we got that going on from the last episode. Cool. So what's been going down? I made it to a new brewery that
you did.
I had recently heard of. It popped up. Bubble House Brewing. It seems like it should be a laundromat.
That's a name for you. The old Bubble House, huh?
Right. And on the last episode, Nick was ragging on restaurants in the burbs that they're no good.
We had a conversation that there are some exceptions, but for the most part, you don't need to leave the city to go for food.
And so Bubble House Brewing is right down the street from Bavarian Lodge.
Bee Lodge. Yeah. Man, that's old school right there, bud.
Yeah, I drove by it. We had plans to meet up with a friend's house for dinner that night. I were like, if I didn't have plans, I would have went to Bavarian Lodge for dinner.
Bee Lodge and Lissel.
Yeah.
Man, you know, I was at one point one of the best bars in the whole state.
Right. And the food's pretty good.
You know, yeah, classic German fare. It's like an actual German beer hall.
Right.
It's not like some new school interpretation. It's the real fucking thing.
Yeah, and I couldn't think of it on the last episode when I was like, the name wasn't coming to me. Mm-hmm. And so then I saw it. I was like, I got to bring this up. That here's another exception to Nick's, the suburb food sucks.
That's the Brad interpretation of Nick. I think we said something along the lines of, you don't have to leave the city for food. I think that's what that was our intent.
So, Bubble House Brewing it's in Lyle. It's on the same main road. I forget what road that is. But it's not
Ogden or some shit.
Yeah, Ogden or Main Street.
It's on the corner of Ogden and Main.
Yeah, probably. So it's not that far, and it's where a laundromat would be. It's like not necessarily a strip mall, but there's like maybe an insurance company next door or something like that.
Or like your classic fucking
suburban thing, but there's only like, it's not necessarily a strip mall because it'd be like multiple of them, but it's like two or three little things.
Little mini strip mall.
Yeah, and they are one of them.
Okay.
So I accidentally drove past it the first time.
And it's right by Bee Lodge.
Yeah, it's not far. So you could it's like close enough where if you were planning to go to Bavarian Lodge, you could go to Bubble House before or after and be like, oh, okay, we'd get a beer here and head over there.
That's a nice 1-2-step.
Yeah.
No.
The beers, they're okay.
Yeah.
They all felt very light or maybe like lacking flavor. Not that they were bad.
Just like a safe interpretation? Like we're not going to give you too much of said flavor.
No, just almost like they were... I felt like they were almost watered down.
Mm.
They were just... needed to be turned up, but just a touch. Which, you know, I had a little flight, so I didn't really get like a good... I don't know, I didn't have a whole pint of anything, so...
Yeah.
They were good. I did get a crawler to go, so I got something more. I wasn't like, I had this and I'm out. I was like, oh, you know what? I can take some more to go.
Were there bubbles at the Bubble House?
No. I'm slightly confused by the name. I feel like, you have bubbles and beer.
You know, there's so. Flapjacks out in the West Burbs.
Right, there's no pancakes.
There are zero pancakes at the Flapjacks.
So, like, did the people that started...
There's no Whiskey or Hills at Whiskey Hill. We can go on and on here.
Did the people who started Bubble House be like, we're going to open a laundromat? And then it didn't work out?
So...
Like, well, we're going to have this brewery, but if it doesn't work, we'll just laundromat.
This will be a laundromat you can drink at. That's always been... I'm not going to say it's always been a dream of mine, but there's always been a need for that. I've been in apartments before. A laundromat's a great place to, you know, just stash, you know, to invest in. People are going to always need laundromats.
Sure.
And it's like, well, shit, what else is going on in this laundromat? There needs to be a small bar with like four drafts at these fucking laundromats. You know? Yeah. I hope that's what they were going for, because that's a good idea.
I know. I feel like they didn't lean into the name enough.
Yeah. It's just happened to be called Bubble House, but there was, and that's the end of it?
Yeah.
And the logo, maybe?
Yeah, this is kind of like a, it's like a, almost a, it's not like a modern logo. It almost has that like retro laundromat bubble look to the logo.
Yeah.
I get bubbles and beer. It makes sense. I like the name, but I feel like there's more you can do.
Yeah, yeah. They're just scratching the surface on both the beers and conceptually.
Yeah, and they're new. Maybe, you know, maybe they figure this out. I feel like you gotta have like a foam party at some point, right?
Oh man, are you kidding me? I used to stay near a laundromat.
I don't know. I've never been to a foam party, but
I have no idea what a foam party is.
I've only seen them on TV or movies, and they seem a mess.
The Soapbox, back before I got a laundry in unit, the Soapbox was the name of my local laundromat. That always tickled me. You know, I had no idea what this place was. I saw the pictures when Brad posted. I'm like, I have no idea what's going on here. But look at him. He found some new shit. Found, you know, new to us, you know, new to me.
They're within the last year, so they're not like, didn't roll up there and be like, we're 3 years old. I think they're within like the pandemic time.
Yeah. New. I saw that they're part of, you know, Skeleton Keys, the crew that got their tornado ripped through their brew house. They had a program, like an incubator program called, I think it was called Spare Keys.
Okay.
For Skeleton Key. And they were a former resident of Skeleton Key.
Oh, nice.
This crew.
I didn't realize that.
So I was like, man, that's pretty neat. So, what'd you have? You remember any of the stuff you had there?
No.
You kind of classic.
I got
your pale, your red ale, got your amber, got your stout.
I did get a pale ale. I got not like a hazy beer, maybe it was like an American pale ale. I got their like lager, mm-hmm. Might have been a pilsner or a Kolsch. I forget where they were on that. And then Maeve got a kettle sour, which the kettle sour is okay, but it wasn't as good as something like
wasn't that session sour though from Rev?
Wasn't as good as that, and wasn't as good as the Bible Brewery.
Oh yeah, fucking Burning Bush.
Like they have really good kettle sours too.
I enjoyed the sours, raspberry one, blueberry one.
Right, they're not kettle sours at Burning Bush, they're sours, but it was okay, but it wasn't. She said it just kind of lacked flavor, like needs some juice in there.
Okay.
Yeah, but they were all good. I don't know. I liked it. If I was at Varian Lodge, I would go there again. I'm not necessarily going to drive out there for it, just for that spot again, but you know. You're out there.
B Lodge is so good. I think I was out there with no car. Just kind of out there for like, you know.
How'd you get there?
I have no idea. Probably the train, I'm guessing. Dogfish. There was a Dogfish event. Revolution Don. Before that, he was Dogfish Don. Right. And they had a tap takeover for Dogfish.
Okay.
And I'm like, I need to go to Bavarian Lodge. And when I went, I'm like, holy shit, this is, you're stepping into a whole other scene.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
And I think not far from Bubble House is that Mike. Ike and Oak, right? Isn't that over that way?
I'm thinking, it's a place with the bear, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get turned around out there, man. Because I've been to that joint because you said you liked it. And I went, and I'm like, this is basically the suburbs answer to Peace. Both the beer and the pizza were solid. The guy used to brew at Bader Bra before that, Lagunitas. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed it. I think it's Icon Oak. And they got a ton of awards on the wall, and it's nice. It was a nice night. I have no idea of where that is in relation to
I feel
to
like it's over much. That way. Or yeah. Not far, but...
I got nothing. For all we know, it's just like 10 miles apart.
Yeah, right. I could have went like... Or it could have been just like a mile, and I didn't look. So I feel like it's over that way, but there's a lot, like, you know, it's an easy drive from the city to Lyle. So.
God damn it, let's get to the bottom. All right,
Nick's going to look up.
I'm sick of this shit. We're going to get to the bottom of this.
Because it had a fun, like, Pacific Northwest, Denver, kind of like a camping vibe. It was less about, like...
You're talking about Icon Oak or...
Yeah, Icon Oak. Okay. Bubble House is just like a standard.
Woodridge. Icon Oak is in Woodridge.
Woodridge, okay.
I feel like that's out that way.
Yeah.
Bubble House.
Bubble's in Lyle. Bubble House looked a lot like...
3 miles. 3.5 miles.
3 miles. Looked a lot like inside Metal Monkey.
Okay.
It was like the same. Here's like a table with some chairs in like an empty room.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of personality behind like our beer and the logo. Like Metal Monkey kind of feels the same way a little bit.
Okay. I've only had Metal Monkey once, and it was at a party down in Tinley. Which is why you go to the suburb parties, right? Because regardless of where the other suburbs are in relation to the suburb you're at, the other suburban breweries will go to that before they come to the
Yeah, there was that time I drove out to Metal Monkey, and I was like, why did I do this?
Mm. Well, speaking of, how'd you hear about Bubble House?
I was looking up just one, things for us to talk about or share, and they popped up on like a list of like events happening or like something was getting released there. I forget what it was, but
yeah.
It wasn't the day I went, and I was like, Bubble, what is this? I need to know.
Yeah. Okay.
But later, like, I've gone to Bubble House before I've gone to Adam Street.
That's funny.
So, yeah.
7 miles away, Adam Street.
Here I am.
But I had never been. I've only been once, so it's not like I'm there all the time or something. I went the one time. And I had to kind of like drag myself
to go to Adam Street. there's a handful. I haven't been to Okanoi.
That's in Humboldt.
Yeah. Okay. There yet.
Right. Sounds like a good hang. I mean, it sounds like a. See, that's the thing. You gotta just commit to going, and that's like cheers to Brad for going, because regardless of whether you like it or not. You going is the victory. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know that sounds kind of like corny, right? But yeah. It's true, right? Like going, you win. That's the win.
And especially like at the moment in the middle of winter sort of thing, you're feeling like, I just need to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Even if it's just for an hour, we left the house, did something, came back. Okay.
Yeah. Cabin fever is real.
Yeah.
You go fucking nuts hanging out at the house all the time. That is very true.
That's what I was feeling, and I feel like I may make it to Double Clutch sometime soon.
Oh, right on.
Soon, just because of that same like feeling. Like, go up to Evanston, check that out. Nice. How about you? Been up to anything?
Not as adventurous. You know, I was looking for eats, so I ended up at Old Irving because they posted a picture of this burger, and it had pimento cheese, and I'm like, sign me up. Where do I want it now? But then I was listening to. I happen to be listening to the guys, I think Matt and Trevor. We Beer Pass has been the Old Irving.
The guys. Oh.
Trevor's the brewmaster. And then there was another guy. They were on a pod. You ever heard this pod, Steal This Beer?
No.
So it's John Hall, Holl, so no relation. But he hosted the Denver Brew Bus when I went to Denver one time.
Okay.
But he's like a journalist, right? You know, he's probably got some books. And then there's a guy who owns a brewery in New York. And I forget the name of that brewery escaping me. Oh, but anyway, Steal This Beer is the name of their show.
That's
so,
a good name. Yeah.
You know, and they do a blind. They invite somebody on. They do a blind tasting of their beers. So I've heard the Off Color episode, and then I saw that Old Irving was on there. So I listened to that, and then I wanted some Old Irving after I heard that. Oh, so I went for the burger. Burger looked great. You know, so I got the burger. Mm-hmm. And then I picked up a barley wine. They were talking about this barley wine on this pod. And it's a, I want to say it's a smoked, yeah, it was a smoked barley wine.
Okay.
It was a smoked barley wine with candy cap mushrooms.
Okay, like the, from in the Turbulence, right, from Sketchbook?
Yeah, that's the same thing I thought. When Brad and I recorded the Sketchbook episode, they were saying, like, man, this place smelled like syrup for, like, a couple weeks because we used these weird mushrooms. And I'm thinking, like, I've never heard of mushrooms that smell like syrup. So I got a two-pack of that. So, you know, you ever heard of this crew? There's a crew out of, like, Minnesota, and they're kind of just, like, they're kind of like this Nordic Viking vibe where all their beers are smoked. They they smoke every single beer.
What's the name?
Drawing a blank.
Okay.
We'll pull up on Old Irving's site. Oh, but, you know, I wanted to try the barley wine. So it's $10 for a two-pack. I try that. And then the candy cap mushrooms. It was kind of part of the appeal, too. So they smoke the beer. They add these mushrooms that add sweetness. And then they put all that in the barley wine. And here you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me know what this Minnesota brewery is. Because I've been up there many a times and been to a lot of Minnesota breweries. And sort of like anywhere, they're hit or miss. So.
Yeah, so I remember... I remember hearing about this place before because that's a pretty unique concept. Kind of in a way how, like, Dovetail just kind of, everything they make goes through that cool ship.
Okay.
And, you know, so they put everything through a cool ship. This crew, they fucking smoke. They fucking smoke everything, which is, I don't know why that's so funny to me.
That's weird. Every beer is smoked?
Yeah. Hmm. What's the name of this crew? I'm on Old Irving site looking for it.
I probably haven't been there because I've been to a place that's like a German, almost a German food beer place that sucks.
Yeah, but anyway, I'll find it.
Okay.
Oh, but the interesting part about the beer was, you know, Trevor, he came from fine dining, right? Like he was part of Moto and I think a couple of restaurants. And he used to buy mussels. The guy he used to buy mussels and truffles from is the guy that sold him these candy cap mushrooms. So apparently these candy cap mushrooms only grow like over in like England and like Norway. Oh, but you pull them out the ground and they lose the sweetness after like 3 hours. So you got to freeze them right away.
Okay.
And so that's how, that was what they did. They froze them.
That's crazy that it would lose it that quick. Or like, I don't know. Just that, stuff is amazing, right?
Like how do you stumble upon something like that?
Yeah. Right? Someone like ate one right there and then ran it back to... someone else, like, you got to try this. It tastes like syrup. And they're like, this tastes like dirt.
After,
like,
what? And you gave it to them in 3.5 weeks, and now it tastes like dirt.
Yeah.
Hammer Heart Brewing in Leno Lakes, Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was my only stop.
Okay.
Yeah. So, wanted to check those things out.
Was the beer good?
You know, it was different. Mm. You know, and it was bone dry. It was bone dry with, like, hints of sweet, hints of smoke. I wish the barley wine... Well, I'm kind of tired of sweet beers. So I kind of appreciated the dryness in it. I just kind of wish it was a little richer. You know how when we drink, like, the VSOR, you know, we were talking about, you know, tiramisu and fucking toffee. Mm-hmm. And I wanted a little bit more of that.
Ladyfinger.
Yeah, the ladyfingers. You know, can't forget ladyfingers. I just wanted a little bit fuller body on it. But yeah. I'm glad I tried it. I got another can, but
I do feel like Old Irving's beers, the once you get into the like stout range, they or barley wine, like the bigger beers, they do very interesting things, but I don't always like them. That's my experience with them, so I tend to stick to the safer like hazies and Kolsch's and cream it, like the stuff that they win awards for. But it's cool that they do these other things, but I don't know. I've tried the white chocolate beer a couple times and it's not my jam.
There's a cinnamon Prost, which I think is a white stout. And they were saying how those things come about because that's what, you know, they move it in keg, they move kegs of it. You know, I think the Prost beer, the cinnamon Prost, it's like they end up brewing it like 3 times, so they end up selling like 90 kegs of this shit.
Yeah, it's kind of like one of those things where you're like, I want to try this, and then I have it, and like, well, cool, I don't need any more. And I think feel like that could be a lot of people's experience, but some people must like it quite a bit.
It's interesting, right? Because it's like, even like we're drinking two Rev beers on the call, and Gravedigger Billy's here for the first time in 3 years or whatever. And we're like, hey, is it my favorite Deep Woods? No. But if you're them, right, and you're making, I don't know, 6 to 10 of these beers every season, it's like, well, you can't, how many times you ring the bell on the greatest hits,
right,
without trying something new. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, right? Like, you won't know until you do it.
Because then you end up being like Goose Island, where you're like, we know Bourbon County's great. We're going to keep brewing it. Everyone, it's good. And now there's tons of it sitting on the shelf because people are like, how many times can I drink this beer?
I saw the, the 150 Stout and the Blanton Stout just kind of, the Elijah Craig one, just kind of hanging out on a barrel as soon as you walk in.
Blanton's was just sitting there too.
Yeah, but no, it's one. Like, you know, but they're expensive though.
Okay.
I want to say the two of them are like over $50, and then like the 150 one, which is the coolest decanter. I mean, the tube, the white tube, it's like $40. Which that's a pretty stiff. That's pretty stiff for a beer, for one beer.
One beer, yeah.
That's pretty stiff.
Four VSORs for $50.
You know, yeah. So that's got part of it, but then also part of it is, hey, you know, like you said, it's a tribute to a beer we made 25 years ago, and it's literally the exact same beer. That might be part of it. I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like that VSOR sold out, so I don't. I'm not good on the price point thing, but people might not want to spend $50 on a, well, they're definitely not spending $50 on one beer.
On one beer.
At the moment, they're just kind of like, I get four beers for $50.
Yeah.
Do that.
And then what sells, right? Because like, well, shit, in that same store, you know, just a Benny's run, fucking Vanilla Deeth was hanging out right there. And that's the same 50 as VSOR. So it's like, in my head, Vanilla is a, would sell faster than VSOR. But that VSOR, man. Pretty legit.
Well, yeah, we're drinking it, so
it's legit, man. So
yeah, if you're spending $50, you want the new thing. Why would you spend $50 on the thing that you had before that was good, but you don't? You're like, I had it. I'd rather take that $50 and roll the dice on a new thing.
I think that's what we're coming to realization.
And then I'll spend the $20 on the thing I like that's old,
yeah,
or whatever it is. So. Yeah. Four pack of Buzzard or whatever it is.
Hoppy small beer, man.
Yeah. Anyway.
Right on.
So let's see, what else is happening? There's been a bit of news.
Yeah, man.
Another one bites the dust. I didn't see this one coming. I forget who I had in my lineup to close. Do you remember?
Well, did you say? Well, I think you said. I just remember Fire Rabbit.
Oh, I said Five Rabbit, which they're sort of in limbo, right?
Because they sold the joint, and then they said, we'll be back.
We'll be back.
But then they sold all their stuff.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's, for me, that's kind of the same thing as saying we're done.
Yeah. Right? But 350 in Tinley Park, done.
Yeah.
Or seems like they're done. There's not really a news story yet.
Yeah, people noticed that they hadn't posted and since, you know, earlier in the month, so like 2-3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And their Google listing says they're temporarily closed.
And then Justin Maynard on Facebook, who used to work there and is friends with the founders, owners,
was kind of bidding them a farewell.
He was like, they were, the owners are great people. They're on to better things now. Mm-hmm. Or they're like, it wasn't what it was when I was there. And I wish the two owners, the best. And he basically kind of confirmed.
I mean, because he knows those guys.
Yeah.
They were all bros, right? I think 350 refers to, like, their college days and, like, the house that they all partied in, learned how to, and fell in love for beer with. That was the address on the house or some shit like that. 350 is in Tinley, which is, there's, like, Tinley Park. They drink out there, but Orland, Tinley, Frankfurt, Oak Forest. Mm. There's a whole lot of drinking going on in that section.
350, the thing was basically in the same like area where the bottle of the beer shop.
Across the street.
Yeah.
Across the street is Open Bottle.
Open Bottle. Yeah. It was like Bottle Open. Yeah.
Yeah.
And someone said they had drove by. I was looking for comments. They're like, I just drove by there and they were open. So It's like, it seems like it might have been sudden, or like maybe just like, okay, maybe the winter or January, February is very rough for breweries, especially with people doing dry January and then pandemic and February. Yeah. It's just cold as shit in Chicago. Why am I going to come out to go to your place to eat cheese curds?
Yeah. This reminds me of a story that we heard. You know, we're hanging out at Empty Bottle, and one of the brewers came over, and we knew that brewer from another brewery. And, you know, this is drunk history, so I forget the guy, and I forget the brewery, but this happened, you know. Hanging out with this guy, and, you know, he was like, yeah, I'm retiring from brewing, man. You know, I'm going to go back to, like, doing my day job, because there was a huge influx of investors at 350, and, you know, you could tell the owners lived a different lifestyle, but then this guy who was brought in to make this beer, you know, didn't really see an improvement on any facet of his world at that brewery, even though they got this new influx of financing. And, you know, I rubbed him the wrong way. And that's the only thing I know about 350. Oh, but, you know, they used to throw this killer fucking, like, beer fest / wrestling event across the street at the Tinley Park Convention Center.
Okay.
It was, like, there was wrestling, and then it was, like, a concert, and, yeah, like, a pop-up for you, all this merch and shit you could buy.
Yeah.
That was fun.
And I went for that, yeah. Like, the punk of the Halloween event. Like, I just rolled out there by myself and got that, like, pumpkin beer. And they had bands.
Yeah.
They were doing pumpkin throwing thing. I don't know. It was like they wanted to do events and then also have beer. And then I don't know what happened. They had, like, 500 different beers. Because when you would go there, I went to the tap room one time, I think after Soundgrowler, and I was like, there are like too many choices. Like, what the fuck am I supposed to get? Like, it wasn't just like, here's five different hazy beers. It's like, we got the red ale, we got the wee heavy, we got the Scottish heavy, we got the Scotch ale, it's like, really? Like, how do you have all these different flavors?
Yeah. So that's one of the four Stanley Park breweries done. So that's, there's Hailstorm, Soundgrowler. There was 350. And we're always missing that fourth one, right?
The Brother.
Oh, yeah. The Brothers. Brothership.
Brothership, yeah. Yeah.
The one time I went to 350, the head brewer, what was his name? His name's Eric. Oh, but anyway, he left to go to Rock Bottom.
Okay.
Rock Bottom and the Burbs, and then he actually went on to do the thing at Milk Money. So he's like the head brewer at Milk Money now, but he started at as one of the 350 guys.
Okay, and then now isn't Will Turner the brewer at Sound?
At Hailstorm.
Hailstorm.
Yeah, Steve so, Miller.
Not in Tail. They're in Tinley Park.
They're in Tinley.
In Tinley. So after Hailstorm's, you know, mess there.
That's a serious bounce back. You got one of the best brewers this town's ever seen.
Really trying to change the story image there.
Without it, you're in a world of hurt.
They're done.
Without it,
they were done.
You had to do that. You had to. That's it. You had to do that. And to their
credit, probably threw a lot of money.
Oh, dude.
Right?
Because Will was like super excited about, you know, the strip mall across the street from Open Outcry and turning that program around completely. Yeah. Right? Like he took that. That was a big deal for him.
We know nothing about what went into Will Turner moving.
The assumption is you had to overpay a Will Turner.
You had to go big. You needed someone with name recognition that's going to make the community of brewers and, I don't know, old school beer people, I don't know, have a little bit of respect for who you are now. Otherwise, yeah.
I saw on the corner of the aisle, I saw a wax dipped bomber from Hailstorm at the store, and my first thought was, Will Turner works there. That's that's the first thing I thought. Okay. So, yeah.
You didn't think.
Other guy probably brewed it. I didn't think that. I'm like, Will Turner works there. Good job by them for saving their brewery.
Sex scandal or not? Was it sex scandal?
I think he put his hand up some girl's ass at a bar or something. Not cool. Not that we need to say that.
So, I don't know. A lot happening in the fucking Tinley Park.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man, things change.
I haven't been out there for a while. I haven't been out there since Sound Growl, all the Tinley Park breweries did that like collaboration beer right when like the pandemic kind of started and we had it on the show. It was like two hands coming together and it was like a handshake thing, but I forget what the beer was, but that was like right when things started and right when I was like, oh man, we were talking about Sound Growler because the tacos there are great, and just we were like, Hailstorm was on the mind all the time because they had those Vlad beers, and so, I don't know, Tinley Park was like had its moment right before the pandemic happened.
Yeah, because when you there's a sign right off the expressway.
Yeah.
You know, right by the World Music Theater. I think one of my first concerts I ever saw there was in Tinley World Music Theater. I saw Janet Jackson there, mm-hmm. Rhythm Nation. Oh, but there's a sign for Welcome to Beer Country.
Right.
And they named the bottle shop and all the breweries.
So since that, I hadn't thought about them or been there until Hailstorm story broke. You know, Will Turner going there now and 350 closing. It's like, oh, yeah, Tinley Park. That's right. That's a place. That's where concerts are.
Monster suburbs out there, man. Just space. Space and people. I think Orland Park, even on the train, Orland Park and Tinley are just very gigantic suburbs.
Yeah.
So
didn't see 350 happening. I still think I might have been right with Five Rabbit.
Yeah, you got the barley wine once. It was their Oktoberfest from 350, and
yeah.
It came in wax and cool.
That was good. That was the only thing
I enjoyed that
we had. And when anyone else we brought up 350, they were basically kind of in not disgust.
They were just indifferent. Or like,
why would you get that?
Yeah, they didn't consider it a destination.
You have three better options.
They had the antidote, which remember they had the COVID beer. They're like, when COVID first hit, they had this beer that was called like the COVID-19 antidote.
Kind of.
It had like a hazard mask on it, and it had like, you know, COVID-19 cure or some bullshit. And it was just a really not the best
poor thing. Taste at the time. Yeah.
It's like, you know, this shit is real. It's not like, you know, it's not to sell beer.
Yeah, don't use our like.
You know, it's a fucking pandemic. You know, people got to close up shop because they can't have people in their place. And, well, let's make a beer. This is the cure.
Yeah.
It's like, come on. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You know what I stumbled across, though, man? The last night was on CNN Business, of all places. There's a collaboration between, it's a Simply Spiked Lemonade. So it's going to be produced by Miller Coors, and it's the Simply Lemonade, and it's basically a seltzer version of Simply Lemonade.
What's Simply Lemonade?
Simply Lemonade is the lemonade at the supermarket, man. You know, it's in the jug. It says Simply Lemonade. Everyone's had a Simply Lemonade phase.
I don't think I've had it.
You go in there, there's like four flavors of this lemonade. Mm. At all the stores, man.
No.
Okay. Well, Brad, according to this story, it's owned by Coke. And it's Coke's second biggest brand. It does $1 billion a year in revenues.
Shit.
It's the biggest single brand behind actual Coke, the soda.
What? It's that?
It's big. It's big, man.
Damn.
So, so they're making an alcoholic version of it.
Does Coke have their own seltzer brand? Because Pepsi has bubbly.
Yeah, well, Fresca, according to this.
Oh, no one drinks that.
Yeah, there's a Fresca hard soda. But this sounds like it's going to be an actual 5% seltzer. Mm. Yeah. So
is this the first time Coke and an alcohol company are teaming up? Or you said the Fresca?
Yeah, Fresca is a spirit-based cocktail that'll be released in the summer with Constellation Brands.
Oh, yeah. So they're not doing... So they're not, like, just sticking with Anheuser-Busch. That's interesting.
They're across the board. They're whoring it out. So they also have a Topo Chico hard seltzer coming out.
That's already out.
And they have a ranch water.
Oh, is Topo Chico? Is that a Coke?
Topo Chico hard seltzer. It's owned by Coke.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Those are good.
Yeah.
I don't know the seltzers, but
I like Topo Chico.
Yeah.
Yeah. fuzzy water. I'm in on the fuzzy water. Bring it on.
It's not all the same to me. There's outline. I'm not a fuzzy water fan.
No.
There are like Topo Chico's good, and I like the.
Is it the bottle? I like the bottle.
Bottle's good, and I like the. I forget the other name of the one I like, but.
Yeah.
They're not. I'm not across the board fizzy water fan.
Okay. Fair. Fair. There's going to be a handful of flavors. There'll be a strawberry lemonade, blueberry, regular lemonade, and a watermelon lemonade.
With Coke doing this, do you think, as like a prediction for this year or in the future, do you think Coke and an alcohol company merge? Do you think Coke buys they're probably not going to buy Anheuser-Busch, so they're not going to merge. Oh, maybe Constellation. Like, could they buy someone? Like, they buy a Coors here.
Wow. Yeah, Molson Coors, right?
Could they do that? Would they get in trouble?
We'll see. There's a term for that when you got too much market share.
Well, it would be like a monopoly.
Yeah, yeah.
But would they?
Antitrust.
It's a different market.
I mean, I think it might go the route. Well, you know, we talked about Monster last week and how they bought 330 mil worth of craft breweries with the Canarchy.
Right.
So, I mean, in response to that, Coke might say, you know, hey, Monster, look at what Monster's over here doing.
Yeah. You know, do we
need a brewery? I tell you something. We happened to be on the scene when Kings of Convicts bought Ballast Point a couple years ago. Just happened to be in Highwood at Kings of Convicts. The boys showed up. Got a little picture, you know.
Right.
But they were saying, like, yo, you'd be surprised how many people called and said we're for sale since we made this announcement.
Yeah.
You know, so those conversations are definitely being had. You know what? Bell's sold last month, right? That's a big domino. That was like number 7 in the country for sales, Bell's, when they sold. So, shit. I mean, I think it's in play, you know?
I think Coke has a – I think them, if they're doing these two – maybe it's like to test the water, like, oh, we'll just like do these collaborations. You want to own that whole thing, right? If you're that big company, you don't want people to be like, oh, this sucks. I'm not going to drink a Coke. I don't want to drink Simply Lemonade again because I had the alcohol one and it was garbage.
Yeah, that's true, right? And then like, well, let's just own the whole life cycle of it. You know, when you look at the Goose Island sale from however long that was ago, it started out as 15%. Right?
Mm-hmm.
CBA, you know, collected whatever that it was. What was it? It was Budweiser owned Craft Brewers Alliance.
Right.
That Budweiser owned. Goose sold 15% of their company to AB through them.
Right.
Because the AB network distributed Goose. But shit, that was the start of it. And then what, like, I don't know, 8 years later or whatever, they end up coming back and buying the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So it's not far fetched to say Coke might be in the market to buy a brewery. That's not unusual to say that.
Yeah. And as people drink less soda, people drink more booze. You will drink the alcohol beverage longer lifetime than you're going to drink the Coke or the Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Right.
And you could follow the same blueprint of, you know, the illusion of choice, right? You go to a store and it's really all Coke products, but they're all different brands. And now that whole thing can be, you know, there's an illusion of all these different beer options, but it's really all Coke. Yeah.
And you'll crush, or people and will crush like a 6-pack of Budweiser every night. You're not doing a 6-pack of Coke every night. Like maybe like if you're like 10 or 12, you might do like a 2-liter, but most people aren't. Like 6 cans of Coke a night, that's kind of ridiculous.
It's such a popular I mean, you know.
But six Budweisers, people are like, that's okay, cool.
Soft drink's so popular as a drink, right? Like, you know, water and tea and coffee and soda, that'd be my guess.
Right.
So, I mean, they're selling so much fucking Coke.
Selling a lot, but
they might not even bother.
They might not bother. But if you could sell more, if you could do Budweiser numbers,
yeah.
You could get Miller. You know, take that and be like, you know what? We're going to kick Budweiser out of the Super Bowl stuff. We're Coke. We bought Miller. They're ours now, and we own the Super Bowl.
It's not far-fetched. It's really not.
That'd be crazy. I don't know.
trying to think of what
so
else.
So are you going to try this Simply Lemonade thing?
You know, I am not. You know, I tried the, what was it?
I feel like I can picture the containers of these lemonade things.
Goose had, I barely liked the Maplewood cocktail, mixed cocktail thing.
Oh,
it was fine. And I didn't like the Goose one. It's like a 3-year-old whiskey. It was a canned cocktail thing. And these are just canned cocktails. I'm not even talking about seltzers. I'm just like, I don't know. These ready-made drinks in a can. I just haven't been having a lot of luck with them.
Okay.
So I'm probably not going to try it. Bring on that Topo Chico, though, with the fucking bottle. Just a straight-up OG Topo Chico.
Well, it's like cans. They're like skinny cans.
Oh, that's what we're doing now?
The Topo Chico seltzers, I think, are in skinny cans. Like, almost like a high White Claw cans.
I would just drink a White Claw at this point.
My God, so that's so 2020. <That's>...
Give me a Truly, bro. The one that tastes like tea. Give me that one.
Man. All right, anything else happening, or should we get out of here before we keep rambling on our 15% beers? I don't even know. See the time. It's like 50 minutes.
I think that's it, man. Naperville Ale Fest is coming back in February.
With Lou Dog?
Yeah, Lou Dog events.
Lou Dog Survives.
And then there's a Lincoln, what is it? Lincoln Park Chamber of Commerce is throwing Winter Brew, and they're doing that in the street next month, too.
I do not want to go outside.
I'm going to pass on all this stuff, but Beer Fest are alive and well.
No. I'm down for Beer Fest. I'm not down for outdoor Beer Fest. That seems like, okay. Or right now.
Gotta embrace nature, man. Embrace the Arctic, man.
Yeah. There's no nature. It's all just ice and slush. But all right, Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch when we're not here.
Hey, man, I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD. Our Revolution stack is growing, but we will be diving into this. We have plans to do a bring back our versus series with this Freedom of Lemonade and 312 Lemonade shanty, because that's coming up on 312 Day. So look for that on YouTube hopefully soon. And we'll be back with another episode. Hopefully next week, if we don't freeze to death. Take care.
Cheers.